Session number 9481, Harold Collins, Part 1.
Could you tell me, first of all, Mr. Collins, where you were born?
North Kensington.
Which year was that?
1912, I believe.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a coach builder.
And what was your education?
Elementary. I was in the elementary school in Kensington.
How old were you when you left school?
15.
To do what?
Well, was to work with my father mainly, because he used to do his own work on the coach building.
How did you come to be interested in politics?
Well, it's because I met quite a number of people who were political around North Kensington. It was quite a political area. And they would have demonstrations in Kensington quite a lot on different issues. So I definitely joined them, connected with them.
What attracted you to them?
Well, mainly what they argued, because also I met people in my house who were political men. Like one of the persons who came to my house was Michael Collins, the famous Irish revolutionary of the fighting against the British. They were the Irish in those days, and they met in my house, four or five of them, including Michael Collins and two or three other Irish people, and they discussed whatever was going on in Ireland and what they were intending to do. And actually, my job at the time was I was only a young boy, about 8 or 9, and I was to go get the teas for them and things like that while they're ever talking. And
was he any relation of yours?
No.
How did he come to be using your house for that purpose then?
Well, my father came from an Irish people, you see, and he was very interested in what was going on in Ireland, and he connected himself up with Irish people and invited them over to our house. And to this day, when Michael Collins and the others came along, they came along for a special meeting. They were going to go meet Lloyd George or something and discuss the Irish question with them.
Was your father a supporter of the Irish Republic?
Yes, he was. Mm.
Was he just a passive supporter or an active supporter?
No, he was just mainly a passive supporter, because he didn't go and do anything in Ireland. He would support and give help to any Irish people in our area.
Do you remember Michael Collins?
Only very faintly. Faintly do I remember him. He was a rather thick-set chap who would, when he spoke in the meeting, he'd really dominate everybody around the hall or wherever he spoke, you see. I think he was a person you could quickly be attracted to as a leader, sort of a person.
Was the meeting at your house a calm meeting or a passionate one?
Well, it was a calm meeting, because they were discussing what they were going to do. They were going to meet, so I think they were going out to meet Lloyd George and people like that, and they were discussing what they were going to do about it.
How many of them were there?
I think, thinking back, about five, including my father, there was about five in the room who were discussing this thing.
Do you remember what was said?
Oh, just the fact, the only thing I remember is that they were talking about Northern Ireland, or rather Ireland mainly, about what they wanted the British troops to come out of Ireland. And that mainly what they were demanding, that British troops come out of Ireland. And I remember Michael Collins he didn't argue with anybody at all, but he seemed to agree with everybody there. And I remember my father talking about Russia at the time, because there was a famine on in Russia at the time, and my father saying to me, whatever you do, support the Russians. Whatever they're up to, you must support the Russians. And even though Michael Collins, I believe, didn't agree with that sort of thing, he didn't argue against it anyway.
Was the you talked about the people who were politically committed,
yes,
with whom you came into contact? Were they committed to British or Irish politics?
Well, mainly the people I contacted were mainly British people through these demonstrations. You see, that took place around North Kensington.
What organisation were they members of?
Mainly the Labour Party. Mainly the Labour Party endorsed trade unions, which they, on Sundays, they used to march around the town, all around North Kensington, and put banners and everything. And I was always behind them, and that sort of thing, being young to it, I was attracted by them.
Did you join yourself?
I didn't join, no. I didn't join anybody until I was about 16 or 17. And I joined the Young Communists who were there in North Kensington at the time.
How did that come about?
Well, they approached me, you see, and asked me whether I was interested in it and what I was interested in and why I should join the Young Communist League, as I supported the Soviet Union, supported Russia at the time.
So it was the Young Communist League, not the Communist Party, that you joined?
No, the Young Communist League, yes.
Would that have been 1929, or...?
Yeah, it must have been 1920-something, anyway. And it's the Young Communist League, I joined, and then after that I joined the Communist Party, you see.
What arguments convinced you that you should join?
Well, they told me what the Soviet Union were doing. They're trying to get rid of unemployment, trying to give working people a good life, and what they, things like that. And they said they were the only people that had done the whole world to change the system to suit the working people.
How had you come into contact with them?
Well, I used to meet them around when there was a demonstration around. They got to know me, you see, and we would all connect me in this demonstration. I'd have a talk with them, and eventually I went to their party meetings that they held locally in North Kensington, down in Portobello Road.
Portobello Road?
Portobello Road, yes.
Can you remember the individuals who were in it?
Oh, I know the secretary was a chap named George Poole.
Poole?
Poole, yes. And he moved out to Slough or somewhere that way.
To where?
Slough. Because he was an engineer.
Was he the one who recruited you?
Yes, he was a chap who talked to me about the Soviet Union, why I should join the Communist Party.
And was he the secretary of the YCL?
He was the secretary of the YCL, yes.
What kind of membership did they have?
Well, the membership in North Kensington, the Young Communist League, was very good, quite a number of them, 60 or 70 or young communists, and they had a premises in Kensal Road, which was not only just an ordinary premises, it had a whole hall attached to it, where they would hold meetings for themselves or have dances at the weekend.
You said that Poole was an engineer, but what kind of people were mostly in the YCL?
Mainly they were just normal workers, or either engineers, probably builders and things like that, who lived around North Kensington. It was a real working class area in those days.
Were they all boys?
Mostly boys, or one or two girls. Although the young communists, you have a march around the town on Sunday and have these young girls walk in front singing, which attracted a lot of young people to join the Young Communist League. And it built us up to about 70 members.
What would they be singing?
Different, mainly Russian songs, mainly the Russian marching songs that we got to learn from a booklet that we had.
Can you remember the titles?
One was about the Red Flyer, the Red Air Force. We were discussing the Red Air Force and about something that happened in Soviet Union about to the east went forward the partisans. And I think the Yugoslavs today use it as the anthem.
Was it mainly social or political activity?
Well, mainly, I was in it mostly political things, but most of the work done by the YCL was social, because they spent a lot of time on these dances that they used to run at the weekends, and they had their own band too. Well, band, they had four or five accordion players.
From amongst their own members?
Among their own members, yeah.
What particular political issues did you get involved in personally at that time?
Well, one was there was a march on London, anger marches coming down to London, and I was in marching with them whenever they arrived in London, and I'd all go wherever they went to, I'd go with them, I'd march along with them, different places. I remember going to a place in just off the British Museum, where there was a big demonstration, a big fight took place there too, because the police and the unemployed started fighting, and a chap from North Kensington, who was one of our party members, he got arrested. He's an elderly chap about 62, he got arrested, and he'd asked me to come along and give evidence, which I wasn't present to give evidence, couldn't possibly give evidence, but he'd come down to me and asked me if I could come along with him. Well, he was coming up to the police station after being arrested.
Why could you not give evidence?
Well, I didn't know where he was. I knew he'd been in this demonstration, but I didn't know anything about where he had been, or any fight he had been in, or to struggle with the police.
Were you present at the fight?
No, but I was present at the back of the demonstration that took place, and the fight had taken place in front of me, quite 30 or 40 yards in front of me, and he had been arrested there, you see, and he was wanting me to give evidence about it.
But you saw the fight?
Well, I didn't actually see it, no, I just saw the struggle that was going on, but I didn't actually see any fighting or what they claimed, the police had used their truncheons and all that sort of thing. I didn't see it happen.
What had caused it, did you know?
It was the unemployed that had a march and it finished up at a rally in just near at the back of the British Museum, and trouble was that the road had been dug up too, and there was some paving stones and a piece of stone around, and some of these unemployed who were really annoyed about it hadn't picked these stones up and threw them at the police.
When was this?
Let me think. I can't think of the actual date, but it must be about 1929, 1930, about the time.
And where did you say it was? Near the British Museum?
In the British Museum, yes. Beyond the British Museum, the squares behind the British Museum.
Any other activities that you were engaged in that spring to mind?
Only the, question when there was people being evicted who had been, had the land, the bailiffs had come, been down to put them out of the house, and we went to have to demonstrate there and support these people who had been evicted.
Where was that?
That was in Warnington Road in North Kensington.
And when was it? When was it?
That was soon after that fight that took place in at the British Museum around about that time.
Did you engage in anti-black shirt activity?
Oh yes, quite a bit. It was a little bit later than that, about the 1930s, when we used to have demonstrations around North Kensington against the black shirts, and when the black shirts sometimes used to try and hold a meeting in Portman Road, we'd go down and break it up. Didn't interfere with them, see that they didn't have a meeting at all, and we'd break it up.
Was it easy to break it up?
Yes, it was, because all the people in North Kensington were behind us. So there's a question of people behind, not being behind us, they were 100% with us.
Didn't the black shirts have much local support?
They didn't have much local support. They might have half a dozen people that they could rely on, but That's what calling a meeting and calling a group. They couldn't get a big meeting at all. They just called a meeting and just to be about one or two of their black shirts around the meet, around the platform. And be, as soon as they called the meeting, they used to call the meeting on Saturday evening when the Portway Road was crowded with people. And whatever they got, we'd break it up and try and take it over from them. We used to do that successfully, to get them to drive them off and take the meeting over.
Did you ever get involved in any violence yourself?
Yes, very often. There was fights with the black shirts and ourselves, especially around Portway Road, where we'd meet them and we'd start on them, they'd fight back and forth, we'd fight them too.
Were you ever injured?
No, but I was arrested once by the police in Bermondsey because I decided to go to Bermondsey when there was a big demonstration there. I got arrested by the police there.
What did the attitude of the police seem to be?
Pardon?
What did the attitude of the police seem to be?
Well, it's the attitude of the police were mostly, I thought, the priests themselves were anti-fascist, were on our side to a certain extent, and they didn't put much against us, and we broke their ranks, in which I was arrested for. We broke the ranks of the police to get, because the fascists were marching along the street. Where was that? A place called Tooley Street. They were marching. The fascists were marching down there, and we broke through their ranks and broke through the police ranks. And I got arrested then.
How did you become interested in Spain?
Well, because I stayed in the Communist Party for quite a while, and the fascist war, the wars in Spain had taken place, and we were sending the Morning Star, not the Morning Star, it used to be the Daily Worker in those days, and we sold the Daily Worker down Portway Road, and I very supported what the Daily Worker was saying about the fascist work in Spain. And I remember I knew one or two people who had been in, been in Spain, and Sir Chapman Fitzgerald, who had been injured out in Spain, had come home and he got talking to me and telling me what was needed out in Spain.
Can you remember what he said?
Yes, he suggested that I should go if I get an opportunity to go. I should volunteer and go out there. And he told me where I should go to if I wanted to go. But I told him I wasn't experienced in warfare or anything, but he told me neither was he, and you get trained out there by very good people, mainly Russians, who could train you, and the people who were training were good soldiers. So he said, there's nothing to worry about it. And he told him his idea was that it wasn't so heavy as what the papers said, the fighting was so much, and that by going out there, the chances of you get through it quite easily.
Can you tell me something about this chap, Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald, well, he's dead now, but he was a student at one time and come out and taken a job as a journalist somewhere.
What was his full name?
I know it's Fitzgerald. My wife would know, but
it doesn't matter if you can't remember. Was he a local man?
Yes, he came from Oxford Gardens, which
from
is
where?
Oxford Gardens, which is a road down the road there. He ran off.
Had you known him before he'd gone to Spain?
Yes, I'd known him. That's why I went round to see him when he came home. I got talking to him.
So, was he a Communist Party member?
Yes, he was a Communist Party member.
And he'd come home because he was wounded?
He had been wounded, yes.
What was the nature of his wounds?
Well, he was barely wounded because he could hardly walk. He was he'd sit down most of the time. And if he walked along, he had sticks to help him walk along.
Where had he been wounded?
Pardon?
Whereabouts had he been wounded in his body?
Oh, he'd been shot in the he had bullet wounds from a machine gun, where he'd been hit in the chest, and he also in the legs too.
Did that put you off, the fact that he'd been disabled?
No, but the stories they told me, which seemed to convince me to go.
What stories were these?
Well, they tell me what the way that the International Brigade had fought and won certain battles against the fascists, and how they advanced against them, especially in terror early places like Karama, a place like that which he had been in.
Is that where he'd been wounded, at Karama?
I don't know, but he'd been in Karama, I know, but I don't know if he was wounded there.
What did he say about going about it?
About what?
About going about joining.
Oh, he told me where I could go down to King Street, in which is the headquarters of the Communist Party, and apply, tell them I wanted to go, why I wanted to go. And he said, if you think of going, I could give his name as a reference to the people that I was reliable.
But you said no at first?
At first I said no, over quite a year before I went.
So what made you change your mind?
Well, I think one of the things that made me change my mind was I went over to the East End of London one day, and there was a fight going on between fascists and I saw these fascists chasing these young Jewish kids, very young kids, 11 or 12, and hitting them just because they were Jewish, nothing else. And these young Jewish people run into a shop in the Whitechapel to get out of their way. And that almost convinced me that it was necessary to go to take up a far stronger attitude against the fascists than I'd seen.
When had you first met Fitzgerald?
Well, I couldn't say exactly when, but I met him during the party in London, before he had gone to Spain, and when I heard he was coming home, because I went round to see him.
But can you remember the date when you saw him when he came back?
Well, it must have been in 1937 sometime, I think. Eh?
And when was it that you decided, after this experience in Whitechapel?
Well, it was a few weeks later. I met one or two other people in the North Kensington Communist Party and decided that we would go and join the International Brigade, and that we'd go down. And I went with a chap named Wally Clasper, who was who had been in the British Army for quite a while. And
Wally who?
Clasper. And he had been in the British Army, and he knew all about what an army was. And we decided to meet him while he went down to the headquarters of the Communist Party in King Street and put our names to Ted Bramley, who was in charge, and told him that we'd like to go. And Wally had told him that he was a bitter soldier and what he knew about soldiers. And of course I supported Wally, saying that I had also been a soldier, which I hadn't been, of course. But they believed that I'd been a soldier too, from what I told them.
Why did you say that you'd been a soldier?
Well, because Wally says Wally seemed to think that being a soldier would be more likely to be taken. So I supported Wally in this. I said, yes, I was with him, because Wally had told me what a soldier had to do. And I supported him there and told Ted Bramley why I wanted to go.
What position did Ted Bramley hold at that time?
He was London District of the Communist Party. Secretary of the London District.
And was he doing the recruiting for the International Brigade?
At that time, yes. But he wasn't doing it openly. You had to go down there and reply. Go to the office and ask to see him. And you tell him what you want. He used to tell lots of things, almost to put you off. He used to tell him what a terrible war it was, what chance you stood a good chance of getting killed and things like that. And if you're still stuck by it, say no, and you still want to go, okay, they signed you up. You also give a regular record where why long you've been in the Communist Party, why you supported the International Brigade and the Spanish Civil War.
What did you say to that?
Well, I told him that I supported the International Brigade on the grounds that they'd, what I read in the morning and the Daily Worker, what they had been doing, the great events had taken place. And as a soldier, I thought, I said, I'd like to be part of it. And what a classmate told him the same thing. And how useful he could be in the International Brigade. I wasn't any question he wouldn't have to be trained or anything.
Were you married?
No.
Did you tell your parents what you were doing?
No, because I'm certain they would have objected to me going, because although my father was political, I don't think he agreed that I should go and take any fighting like that.
So what preparations did you make for going?
Well, I just mentioned to one or two people in the Communist Party, just one or two of them, tell them all that I was going, including the person who's my wife now. I knew her as a girl, you see. And I told her I was going, and she suggested that I shouldn't go because of the danger and all that thing. But nevertheless, we decided to go. Me and Wally Clasper decided to go together. And we're told by Ted Bramley to appear at a certain place on Saturday morning, and then we were given money to go to France.
Did you take anything with you, especially?
No, just as me, what I wore in those days, wore my best suits, well, things like that, and didn't take any. A very small tattoo case I had, which only had a few sandwiches mainly, and a coat.
Did you take much money?
No money at all, no.
Were you given any money by the party?
Yes, I was given the money which would buy me a weekend ticket to Paris. And so was Wally, who was given the same amount of money too.
Can you describe the journey?
Yes. Went down to Folkestone and crossed over to Dieppe.
And, just the two of you?
Just the two of us, yes.
Did you have any trouble getting out of the country?
No, although I was rather put off by one of the policemen as we were going out of the country. He said asked me what my name was. I told him, and he wrote it down and said, asked me where I was going. I told him, and so when you come back, he said sarcastic, if you come back. And as much as say that he knew where I was going, I think he did know his attitude.
So what happened once you got to Dieppe?
We were met by a Communist Party members, two Communist Party leaders met us there, and we got on a train and went down to Paris. And then they took it to us around to a headquarters in Paris, which was a big hotel with a big restaurant and everything. And we had a good meal there. And they told us everything, what would happen to us in the next 2 or 3 days before we went. They take us around to a place in Paris where they tell us, find out our age and everything, and why we're going. And they'd give us in touch with people where they'd send us down to the south of France, a place called Carcassonne in the south of France.
How hospitable were they?
They were very good, marvellous, those people.
In what way?
Well, the people we went to, they... we... St-